Good evening and welcome. It's KBC Arts, arts and entertainment, as well as the people and places providing it. I'm David Fleming. Tonight, I'll be speaking with Paul Cruz about the Palm Springs International Comedy Festival, held virtually this year, though with a lot to check out. Also tonight, Wipeout. This competitive obstacle course game show is about to be back on the air and is auditioning in Southern California. KVCR's Lillian Vasquez has more on this in conversation with Katie Wallen. Lillian also starts the program in conversation with an actor you may easily be familiar with, though I'm sure you at least know his dad and grandfather. We'll hear a bit about the acting world, but also a very serious topic.
Our guest is actor Jason Ritter. He's been working in the show business industry from a very early age. You may know him from his role as Kevin on the series Joan of Arcadia, or Mark in the NBC series Parenthood, or even as the voice of Ryder in Disney's Frozen 2. He has a famous last name as a son of John Ritter and the grandson of Tex Ritter. Thank you for joining us, Jason.
Thank you for having me.
So, Jason, we're not talking Hollywood or show business today, but rather a more serious topic, Huntington's disease. Share with us what Huntington's disease is.
It's a hereditary degenerative disease. It attacks the person's mind and it attacks their body. The way it was described to me initially, just sort of, I mean, obviously it's a bit simplistic, but it's kind of like Alzheimer's and Parkinson's mixed together. It's a truly devastating disease, and because it's genetic, if your parent has it and shows sign of it, then you have a 50% chance of inheriting it. And if you have it, then you can pass it on to your children and so on and so forth.
Right. And at the time, there's no cure for it. There must be science going on. Is there a way of slowing the disease down, do you know?
There have been a lot of ways in which they've alleviated symptoms and things like that, and their treatments. One of the super exciting things, though, about Huntington's disease, in particular in the research that's going on, is they've made leaps and bounds in the last 20 years, and it really does feel like we're getting close to a cure. I mean, when it first showed up, people really had no idea, and now we know exactly what the gene anomaly is, and so scientists have been able to go in, like, okay, we know our enemy. How do we get past it? And already people have been able to have children that definitely do not have the disease so that they know that the next generation is protected from it. So there are huge, exciting things going on. I feel like we're just about to turn a corner in finding an actual cure so that this horrible disease can just stay in medical history books.
Right, yeah. And so in order to do that, there requires funding, right? So I know that you are part of a fundraiser. With COVID-19, the sixth annual Freeze HD is virtual. So how does it work? And tell me about the event.
So as everybody has had to adapt this year to sort of a new life, we've made this virtual. Obviously, we want to keep everyone safe, not create more sickness when we're trying to cure. It's actually really exciting. We're having a virtual event from 6 to 8 o'clock that is completely free, you know, which I think is such a beautiful thing. One of our main goals is to just simply spread awareness and get people to know about it and think about it more than just, oh, I think I learned that in biology in 8th grade, but not really have a sense of it. So from 6 to 8 is a free event to come. There's an auction, an incredible auction that actually opens on the 21st of September. So much memorabilia and Zoom calls with some of your favorite casts and all sorts of fun and exciting things. And then there's a little VIP section from 8 to 9. That's the paid portion of coming, and that you have a bunch of people. I'll be doing a section of it, and we'll just be kind of virtually hanging out and talking about stuff. And it's going to be an incredible night. There's going to be music. There's going to be comedians. There's going to be all sorts of fun and amazing stuff. And we're also honoring a couple of people who have been part of our fight against the disease.
So share with me, who are some of the other celebrities involved with the event that you know of at this point?
The host committee is me, Mariana Palka, Scott Porter, Kate Miner, Bryce Dallas Howard. Scott Porter is also emceeing the event.
So how can the public participate and support the cause? They can go and watch, you said, the free part from 6 to 8, and this is on September 26th. They can do that free part.
Yes.
Where are they going to go to get involved in this?
So you go to hdsa.org/freezehd, and that will have all of the information, you know, RSVP to show up and be there. If you want to do the separate thing, that's incredible. I mean, obviously, you know, we do want to spread awareness, but fundraising is also a huge part of it. And hopefully people will be inspired to throw a little bit towards ending this horrible disease. We'll have a lot of fun in the meantime. But yeah, that website has all of the information, all of the hosts and guests, and everybody that is involved that we're allowed to say right now. It should be a great night.
So if people want to bid earlier on some of the things, you said it opens up September 21st and people can start bidding on items and that's how they can contribute as well?
Yes, that's a huge thing. You can bid on items starting on September 21st and there are so many incredible things. You can have some people record voicemails for you. But there's also lots of incredible physical memorabilia, a lot of sports memorabilia and television shows and film memorabilia. So there are going to be a lot of amazing things, and it's good to get in early and see which items you want to keep your eye on.
I'm going to jump on it as soon as we get off this interview. Oh, yeah, it's not September 21st yet. Let me ask you, how or why are you connected to Huntington's disease? Why have you put your name with this?
I first heard about Huntington's disease when I was 19, or I first heard about it in a meaningful way. I was one of the people who I think read about it in biology class. But Mariana Palka, who's a very close, dear friend of mine who's part of this whole thing, her father had Huntington's disease. He's one of the people that we're honoring on the 26th. So she told me about it, and I met him in probably 1999, and I had heard stories about who he was, and I had seen how he'd changed. And you know, over the course of the next decade or so, I watched the progression of the disease, and it's extraordinarily painful for family members. And also, Mariana, being his daughter, had a 50% chance of inheriting it. So it was always something that was in the back of our minds. And then we were involved to a certain extent, but about 6 years ago when this whole event started, Mariana decided to do a documentary where she found out whether or not she had the gene. And the results of that whole documentary experience, it made us want to just really get involved in this world and just say, okay, time to stop sort of putting it in the back of our head and just fight it head on. It came a little bit out of the helpless feeling of, you know, not being a doctor or a scientist and wanting this disease off the face of the earth. And so that first year, my brother and my sister-in-law and my sister and all of our friends, we just got everybody to come together to try to raise money for research for this disease. And it was such a wonderful night that we decided to do it annually as opposed to just have it be a one-off thing. So we're doing it annually, and we're waiting to hear when this disease is over and done with.
Right, yeah. Wouldn't that be lovely? Now, I understand a famous folk singer died of Huntington's disease, and his wife started the Huntington's Disease Society of America. Can you share a little bit of backstory about Marjorie Guthrie?
Yes, Woody Guthrie is... I mean, it's a strange thing to say, but he's the most well-known person who suffered from Huntington's disease. That was the first time that a lot of people really heard about it. You know, you hear about Huntington's disease in the circles in which it really affects, but because it runs through families, those circles stay kind of tight and small. And when a public figure goes through something like that, it sort of helps to create awareness.
Sure.
And so, yeah, she, knowing that it not only her father, but it can affect her whole family in a similar way, just said, I've got to start something to fight this. And we're so grateful that she did. And she's the torchbearer. She started everything. And we're so grateful. All of the research that's been done, all of the families who have HD, who are needing help with various things that HDSA also helps with, it all started with her.
Let me reintroduce our guest is actor Jason Ritter. And we're talking right now about Huntington's disease and this event that's coming up and how the public can get involved to either learn more about the disease and raise funds that help to pay for the science behind it and coming up with a cure. Okay, Jason, I'm going to switch gears for just a second. You must have known that you or planned from a very early age that you wanted to go into the entertainment career or that it was destined for you. I think I looked at an old Three's Company and I understand that little boy at the petting zoo that walks up to Joyce DeWitt is you. Is that correct?
That is correct. There's a little shirtless child in overalls who wanders up to Joyce DeWitt and a lovely nameless goat. I'm sure it had a name. I can't remember it now. But yeah, that was not supposed to happen. I just kind of wriggled out of my mom's arms. You know, when you want to get close to a goat, you want to get close to a goat.
Absolutely.
That's what happened.
So with your mom and dad as actors, is this something you knew you wanted to do growing up in Santa Monica?
I thought I did, yeah. I mean, as a child, I really was into it and doing school plays and doing everything that I could get my hands on. And I just loved the whole process of it. And then when I was about 12, 13, I just got incredibly self-aware and shy. And it sort of put me off of that for a while. I didn't want anybody to look at me at all for a couple of years. But then I got over that. And remembered how much I really did love doing it and how being a bit of an introvert is not necessarily something that cannot coexist with wanting to be an actor.
So that's funny. I hear that quite often, that actors sometimes tend to be introverts. Was your dad an introvert?
I would say he was not an introvert. I mean, I think I say that I'm a bit introverted. I also have an extraordinarily extroverted side when I feel comfortable enough with friends or with family. And my dad had a very introspective, quiet, thoughtful side. But if he could just make you laugh for the entire time that you were seeing him or hanging out with him, he would. He just truly had a passion for eliciting that sound from various human bodies.
That's a nice way to describe him. We're obviously talking about his father, John Ritter, who was in Three's Company and in the entertainment world for a very long time, obviously left us way too soon. Let me see if I have this right on Wikipedia. I'm going to test this. You grew up in Santa Monica and later attended NYU, where you reportedly were roommates with Simon Helberg from the popular TV show The Big Bang Theory. Did Wikipedia get that right?
Wikipedia got that right, yes. Simon and I actually have been friends since eighth grade, and when we found out that we had both gotten into the same college, we purposefully requested that we be roommates, and yeah, we were roommates for 2 years, and he's still one of my greatest friends today.
He's
another fantastic person also who can make me laugh like nobody else.
Now, have you guys ever done any projects together, or there ever been talk about the two of you doing something together?
We've done a couple things together. Actually, both of our first jobs was a movie called Mumford that Lawrence Kasdan wrote and directed, and we both auditioned for it and got put in separate parts. So that's the first one we count, but we weren't actually working together. But Simon wrote and directed a movie called We'll Never Have Paris that he also starred in. I was in that. He gave me a part in that. But yeah, there's been talk for years and years about when our little group of friends all sort of Voltrons together and finally becomes one giant entity. But kids and life, it gets hard to organize. But it's still a dream.
It's still there. Well, very good. Jason Ritter, thank you so much for your time and good luck with your event. I hope the 6th annual Freeze HD virtually goes well.
Thank you so much. I really appreciate you talking to me about it.
That was KVCR's Lillian Vasquez in conversation with Jason Ritter. More on the fundraising event with Huntington's disease in mind. That's the 6th annual Freeze HD event at hdsa.org. Again, simply hdsa.org. You're listening to KVCR. It's on 91.9 KVCR. Online and on mobile devices at kvcrnews.org. I'm David Fleming. Later in the program, Lillian Vasquez returns with information on the obstacle course game show Wipeout. They'll be auditioning only in Southern California quite soon. First, though, the Palm Springs International Comedy Festival, which is fairly new. I spoke with the director of the festival, Paul Cruz.
It actually hasn't been around that long. I mean, it's been a couple of years, but we've had a few issues with getting it off the ground. I live in LA, but I also live in Palm Springs. I was doing some TV hosting, red carpet coverage, like the Oscars and stuff like that, and I just decided I wanted to kind of move to Palm Springs for a while and take a break and spend more time out there. And so since I've been out in Palm Springs, I decided, hey, you know what, they have the film festival here, but they really should do a comedy festival. And, you know, I had that at the back of my mind for a while, but I went off and I was producing a movie with Sally Kirkland that got a lot of critical acclaim called Archaeology of a Woman, and it got a lot of Oscar buzz and stuff
like that.
And I was producing some other stuff. A couple of years later, I was like, okay, I have time now. I think I'll start the comedy festival. So I started the comedy festival, and I had a deal with a hotel here. I'm not going to say the name of the hotel because it might be a legal issue. But anyways, I had a deal to hold the festival at a major hotel here in Palm Springs. And it was going to be in September of 2018. And then the hotel pulled out of the city, owing the city a huge multi-million-dollar debt.
Wow.
Right?
Yeah.
So I found out about it on my phone through local news, a news feed, right? And I got an alert, and I'm like, what is this? And I'm like, wait, what? I'm like, but I have a contract with them, and I'm supposed to do the festival, and blah, 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 blah. I called them, and they weren't returning my calls. And so I called the mayor, and I had a meeting with the mayor, and the mayor told me to talk to somebody else. And they were making all these suggestions for me. So I ended up having to push it back from September to November, which I never wanted to do because, you know, November, that's the beginning of the holidays. It's like Thanksgiving and then Christmas. And so I never wanted to do that, but I didn't want to stop the train that was already moving. So I thought, okay, we'll have it in November. So we launched it in November of 2018 under weird circumstances. So then people were like, oh, you're going to do another one, right? And I'm like, yeah, I'm going to do another one, but I don't want it to be in November again because I needed a year to prepare, right?
Right.
So a year from November of 2018 would have been November 2019. And again, I didn't want to do it in November because of the holidays. And December's Christmas, and January is New Year's, and people are recovering from all their financial spending. And then the award season starts. And it's hard to get celebrities to participate during award season. So I just decided to move it to spring.
Okay.
Right.
It was great, except for this year.
Yeah, so then the pandemic happened. It was supposed to be in May, right? So a year and a half later, because I needed a year to prepare, remember?
Yeah.
So a year and a half later, the pandemic happened. So I had to move it from May to September. And then September was coming up, and I'm like, oh, my God, this is not going to happen because we cannot do this live with people. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
So I was talking to some people about other possibilities. It was either cancel it and postpone it for another year or put it online virtually. So we just decided to put it online virtually and let people enjoy it from the comfort and safety of their homes and hopefully raise enough money to donate to some pandemic charities that we would like to give money to and hopefully entertain some people in a time where, you know, people could use some laughter.
So you made the decision then to make it virtual then. Are people still able to buy tickets then? And then that's when you have the access code so you can watch it? Or is this sort of relying on the honor system where people will watch the show and hopefully donate somewhere? How is this financial aspect, I suppose, working out for you then?
We're going to have a donate button. And like I said, part of the proceeds will be donated to a variety of pandemic relief charities. But also, people will be able to buy tickets online, and the tickets aren't available just yet, but if they go to psicf.org, which is the call letters for Palm Springs International Comedy Festival, psicf.org, then they can sign up for our newsletter, and we'll let them know when tickets go on sale. So when tickets go on sale, we'll do a brief period where the tickets will be kind of early bird discounted tickets, so they'll have the opportunity to buy tickets at really discounted prices. But we decided to make the tickets really affordable anyways. Like a $10 ticket will get you a full day of all the stuff that's airing that day. So you get a code emailed to you after you buy a ticket, and then you punch in that code, and then you can log on and watch all this entertainment. You can stream it on your TV or watch it on your iPad or your phone or whatever. You can buy a weekend pass, or you can buy a three-day pass, or you can buy a VIP pass, which gives you unlimited. So people will be able to stream all the films, because part of our festival is not just stand-ups, but we also do comedy feature films, comedy shorts, comedy TV pilots, comedy web series, funny music videos, sketch comedy stuff, student comedy projects. So they'll be able to stream all that, plus they'll be able to log on and watch all the stand-up comedy competitions. We'll also have some industry panels, Q&As. Celebrities will be getting awards because we usually do a celebrity red carpet dinner gala where we award and pay honor to comics who had a great year or who came previously and kind of paved the way and did stuff like that. And so since we can't do that, we're going to have the celebrities accept online.
Cool.
And usually people have to pay a good amount of money to get a ticket to the gala, but we're going to actually have that available for people to view for free.
Oh, nice.
Yeah. And so there will be some things sprinkled in people can watch for free. But the actual first day, which is Sunday, October 11th, which is our launch day, all the content on that day will actually be free.
Oh, that's fantastic.
Yeah.
You know, I'm so glad that you mentioned that it would be easy enough and I suppose a natural enough presumption to think, okay, it's going to be stand-up acts. And that in itself is fine. That's great. That can keep me going all day. But you mentioned there's comedy feature-length films, shorts, web series, sketch comedy and whatnot. And you alluded to a competition. And this is really cool, this comedy competition where comics from all over the world compete for a, well, not only a cash prize of $1,000, but maybe more significantly, to be seen by major industry folk. And win, I love the title, The Best in Fest. That's just a great title in and of itself. But that is really cool. So this has only been going for a couple of years. I was all set to ask you, hey, what was it like way back in the earliest of days on this, man? And, you know, so
oh,
that's...
You mean last year?
Yeah, this three-city tour,
right,
man.
2 years ago.
Yeah. But has it grown in that short period of time? Did you start with one weekend at a hotel or maybe even one night in the bar, that kind of thing, and now it's spread out over several performance times?
No, we opened with a bang, actually. We started really huge. Like I said, I've worked in the entertainment industry for a long time, so I know a lot of people, and we kind of started with a bang, and I had met Kathy Griffin through Sally Kirkland, actually, like I said, who was a good friend of mine and who I produced a couple projects for, and she came out to Palm Springs and stayed and visited, and I said, hey, Kathy Griffin's going to be performing at the casino out here. They have a huge showroom at Agua Caliente Casino in Rancho Mirage. I don't know if you've been there.
Yeah, sure have, yeah.
Yeah, they just had Jerry Seinfeld there. They have a lot of big people, and so... Yeah. Kathy was going to perform there, and I said, do you want to go? Because Kathy actually was Sally Kirkland's student years ago. I mean,
oh, wow.
So Sally actually taught Kathy acting years and years ago. So she knows Kathy. So she's like, yeah, let's go see her. So we sent her some flowers. We went and saw her. She invited us backstage, and we were hanging out in her dressing room, and we talked for a while. And so then when this comedy festival came up, you know, she had had a hell of a year with controversy with the whole Trump thing.
Oh, yeah.
You know, and so we wanted to honor her for her work, but also for just kind of speaking up for First Amendment rights and stuff like that. But, you know, it really wasn't a political thing at the time. It was just like, oh, she's done a lot of stuff, and I always liked her, and I met her, and I had her phone number, and so I just called her up and said, hey, you know, how do you feel about this? She said, oh, I would love to, and so she came out and did that, and then she ended up doing, like, I don't know, it could have been 30 to 45 minutes worth of material for the people
excellent.
At the gala. Yeah, so it was pretty cool, and then I know the Stanley Kramer family, the director, producer, who has directed all the movies in Hollywood for years that were Oscar-winning films like Judgment at Nuremberg.
Oh, wow.
Yeah, he's directed a ton of films. I mean, he was the first person to get a star on the Walk of Fame, and he's the most nominated director, producer in history or whatever. And he also made all these really serious, dramatic films, but people said, you know, he couldn't make a comedy. And he's like, oh, really? And so he ended up making a comedy just to show people, I can make a comedy, I can do whatever. You know, Stanley was a genius. So Stanley made It's a Mad, 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 Mad World.
Oh, my God. Okay, yes, yes. Love it.
It was like the number one film at the box office for like a year.
Sure. Well, it had everybody in it. Yeah, yeah.
Yeah, and it had an all-star cast. But like for a year, it like broke records. It was like the number one film.
Wow.
You know, and they actually built the Cinerama Dome in Hollywood, which is now ArcLight Cinema, specifically for his premiere to show it in Cinescope. And it was largely filmed here in the Palm Springs area. So I was friends with the Kramer family, and I said, hey, you know, so Dad directed this one movie, and it was a huge comedy, but he doesn't get enough attention for it other than people really love this film, and it's a really big film, and a lot of celebrities love it. The Producers Guild of America gives out a Stanley Kramer Award, which is a very prestigious award every year. And only A-listers get this award, right?
Okay.
So I was like, why don't we do a special award where it's the Stanley Kramer Award for comedy? Because, like I said, this was the number one film for a year.
Yeah, yeah.
Nobody's been able to do that, and it was a
nope.
comedy. A lot of people consider it to be the best comedy of all time. And again, it was filmed out in Palm Springs, so I called Kat and Karen Sharp Kramer, who's a Golden Globe winning actress and Stanley's wife and producer and philanthropist, and Kat Kramer is his daughter, who is named after her godmother, Katharine Hepburn.
Oh, cool.
She's
oh, wow.
She's an actress and a producer, and she has a film organization of her own, Kat Kramer's Films That Changed the World, which is a very amazing company that showcases really important films, and she's also a philanthropist. And so I called him and I said, hey, what do you guys think about this? And we'll do a special award named after, I call him Dad, even though I never met him. She's like, Karen's like my mom.
Oh, cool.
Like a second mom to me, and Kat's like a sister. So they were like, yeah, sure, we would love to do that. So the first year, other than Kathy Griffin, we gave an award to the film Book Club with Jane Fonda, which was directed by Bill Holderman and produced and written by Aaron Sims, who Aaron was an actress as well one time. And so they all came out and got this award. But we started off with a bang. We did the gala one weekend, and then the next weekend we did the festival. And so there was film streaming all weekend, every day, for like 10 hours a day.
Wow.
And then in another big area of the hotel, in another ballroom, we had like stand-up comedy going on and sketch comedy, and we had Q&A celebrity panels, and you know, we had a bunch of celebrities from other shows come out and do Q&As, and it was just a huge launch. So this year we're going to do everything like that, but it's all going to be online.
Wow. I'm David Fleming. You're listening to KVC Arts on 91.9 KVCR. We are streaming live at kvcrnews.org. Later in the program, Wipeout, the obstacle course game show where, well, you have to get over those big red balls, running, swinging, trying not to get knocked into the muddy water. That's coming back to TV with auditions only in Southern California this year. Back to Paul Cruz, director of the Palm Springs International Comedy Festival, kicking off Sunday, October 11th. Tickets and more information at psicf.org. Let's talk about the lineup for a bit. I guess, namely, of course, Selena Luna. She seems to be the common element on each of the performances. Is she pretty much the host of it? I know that she's on the board.
Well, here's the weird thing about how Selena came into the situation. So Selena is a well-known minority actress and comedian in the business, and a lot of people know her actually around the world because she toured with Dita Von Teese.
Yes.
I don't know if you know Dita.
I don't know if I should have admitted that so quickly. Yeah, I know who she is. Yes.
Yeah. Yeah, well, everybody knows who Dita Von Teese is. She's gorgeous, and she's just beautiful, and she's the queen of burlesque, but it's very tasteful, you know?
Yeah.
And so she toured with her for several years, and then she also toured opening up for Margaret Cho for many years. And then she also has appeared in a lot of movies, My Bloody Valentine.
Oh, yes.
Most recently, the Oscar-winning, Golden Globe-winning film Coco, the animated film. She did a character, Tia Rosita.
I actually saw the film, but I couldn't tell you which character was which at this point, because I saw it in the theater when it was new. So.
Yeah, because it's animated.
Yeah.
Yeah. So she does a lot of stuff, acting and voiceover. She's done movies and TV shows and stuff like that. So I used to go see Margaret all the time, and Margaret was coming out to do a show again in the Palm Springs area. They were going to do a show at Morongo Casino. Do you know Morongo?
Yeah, like I say, I live in Redlands, so if I'm going out that direction, it's either to Palm Springs or I turn to the left on the 62 and head up to Pioneer Town or Joshua Tree or whatever. So,
oh, okay, yeah.
No, cool. Yeah, totally right in the area. So.
Yeah, yeah. I mean, it's beautiful up there. You can see the stars. It's gorgeous.
Oh, yeah, like nothing else.
Yeah, and so I knew that Margaret was coming to Morongo, and I waited too long to get tickets, and they were sold out. So I contacted Margaret, and I said, "Hey, Margaret, you know, all the tickets are sold out." And she's like, "Oh, don't worry, sweetie, I'll get you some tickets." And I was like, "Yeah, just tell me how much." And she's like, "How many do you need?" And I was like, "I just need two." And I said, "Just tell me how much they are, and I'll pay you for them." And she's like, no, I'll give them to you for free." And she's like, "You know, don't worry about it, blah, blah, blah." And Margaret is just an amazing person, besides being a great comedic actress and comic. She's paved the way for many people with her own series, All American Girl.
Yeah.
And then, you know, she does a lot of charity work, too, for the homeless and the LGBTQ and minorities and women. And she's just an amazing person, so giving. So she gave me two free tickets.
Sweet.
And so I went down there, and I had met Selena through her before. And then I met Selena again, and we talked kind of a little bit more then. And then Selena said she was moving out to Palm Springs, and I contacted her, and I said, "Hey, what do you think about helping me with the Palm Springs International Comedy Festival? We're still new, and I would still love to have some additional help, and I think you'd be a great asset for the board." And like I said, she had done all this stand-up for years and been in TV shows and movies and voiceover and stuff. So she's actually going to be our diversity award winner. She felt weird about accepting it because she's like, "But I'm on the board and I don't want people to think, you know, that..."
Oh, sure, sure.
"You know, that you just gave it to me because of that and blah, blah, blah." And I was like, "No, first of all, I don't really care what people think, you know."
Yeah.
Secondly, that's not true. People are going to always think something. That's just show business.
Oh,
that's how it is.
Oh, yes.
You know what I mean? But Selena recently spoke to Congress in regards to the Rights for Disabilities Act, and she's a member of the disabled community as well, and being a little person and other things. And so she's also a minority. She's Latin, and she's also a comedian, and she's also a woman in show business, you know, which is in and of itself, you know, a huge struggle in and of itself. So she's going to actually be our diversity award recipient, whether she likes it or not. And then we've never given that award out yet. And then, you know, the Stanley Kramer Award, it's called the Stanley Kramer Mad World Award, is going to be given out to another big film this year, which we're still kind of lining up people for that award, so I can't really say who that's going to be just yet.
Okay.
And then Judy Tenuta, who headlined actually for us our first year. She was one of a couple.
Okay, nice.
We had several headliners the first year in the evening, and she was one of them, and she killed it. And I remember Judy from when I was like 14 and whatever, watching her on TV and stuff, and I always thought she was just not only just very hilarious as a comedian, but very unique. And you don't see a lot of comedians like that come around that are very unique like that and have a really specific individual persona. You know what I mean?
Oh, yeah. That's maybe one of the reasons why. Well, the very few that we've mentioned so far stand out for one reason or another, and she's no different. I mean, the very few female comics that we've spoken about so far, her and Kathy Griffin and Margaret Cho and Selene Lunas. So, yeah, you're naming some really powerhouse people. I don't know if folks know all the names here. They should just go YouTubing for a while and check out Selene. She is a riot. Oh, yeah.
Yeah, Selene is a riot. And Margaret Cho actually just directed Selene's first stand-up show, actually. And I'm a producer on that.
I thought you were a part of that, yeah.
So we're going to be shopping Selene's comedy special soon. Also, I produced a show for the Comedy Festival winner. You know, you mentioned earlier that people could win $500, but that's for the Audience Award. The actual winner of the stand-up comedy festival will win the Best of Fest, and they get $1,000 plus a possible comedy stand-up TV special of their own. You know, pandemic issues pending, you know, because I'm not sure if we could still film. You know, you can't film in front of a live audience, you know, if it's not really legal.
I can neither confirm nor deny that I filmed.
Yeah, exactly.
The proof is there, yeah.
So the winner will get a lot of publicity, but also $1,000 and potentially their own comedy special, just like Ronaldo Evans from Florida, who won last year and came in and just killed it. And his stand-up special is amazing, and it should be coming out later this year. We're just wrapping up mastering the color and sound on the trailer, and the special is complete, and we're going to be finding a home for it soon, and hopefully it'll get a home before the festival launches in October. But the trailer should be up on the Palm Springs International Comedy Festival website for everybody who's interested in seeing what we did with the winner.
Excellent.
And while they're there to sign up to get information about when tickets release, they can also sign up to win VIP passes. We'll be giving away some VIP passes for free.
Cool.
So they have a chance to win some VIP passes there as well. But getting back to the Selene Luna thing, so I produced her special, Ronaldo's special, and then one for Tony Tripoli. Do you know Tony Tripoli?
I saw that name in the write-up, but no, I don't know that.
He headlined last year as well, and he was the executive producer and head writer on E's Fashion Police with Joan Rivers.
Okay.
Yeah, and that's why it was so hilarious, because he wrote all these fantastic jokes, and he was the executive producer on that show for like 15 years. He's also been a stand-up comedian for many decades, and he's worked with Joan, and he was on Joan and Melissa's show.
Okay.
He was on Kathy Griffin's Life on the D-List quite a few times, and he's opened for Joan many times, and he's just really hilarious. And so I produced a show. I'm still producing. So we also produce shows, and I'm always on the lookout for new talent to, like, produce something for them. So I thought, you know, this would be a great way to find somebody great is through the Palm Springs International Comedy Festival and hopefully make somebody a star. Like, I think Ronaldo Evans, who won, and his special is going to come out soon, is going to be huge. He's very unique and very funny, and we're doing a bunch of stuff.
That was Paul Cruz, director of the Palm Springs International Comedy Festival. That starts Sunday, October 11th. Tickets and more information at psicf.org. You're listening to KVCR. It's on 91.9 KVCR. I'm David Fleming. Rounding out the program tonight. I'm pretty sure this isn't the theme they're using, but I'm having fun playing it. Wipeout, the competitive obstacle course game show, is coming back to TV with auditions, this time around only in Southern California. Once again, here's KVCR's Lillian Vasquez.
Katie Wallen is the founder and CEO of the entertainment company Mystic Art Pictures. She is a creative force behind thousands of hours of television series. Thanks for joining us.
Well, thank you for having me. I love it.
As I mentioned, you've been involved with thousands of hours of television content, but the series we're going to talk about today is Wipeout. You're looking for participants in Southern California to audition for this reboot of the series that will soon be available on TBS. But for those of us who may not be familiar with the show, describe it for us.
Wonderful. All right. Wipeout 2020. It is the most iconic obstacle course I think, in the history of television. And contestants compete in a series of obstacle courses and have the chance to tackle the big red balls. It's a once-in-a-lifetime experience, and we are so excited to be doing 20 episodes for Wipeout 2020 on TBS.
So how does one prepare for an audition for something that's virtual?
That's a great question. How does one prepare for a Wipeout audition? Our entire casting process has been virtual, and everything is done. First of all, you go to www.wipeoutcasting.com, where you can fill an online application out. We are looking for teams of two. So we're casting duos. Mm. So each person fills out their own application. Thousands of applicants have applied, and every application is reviewed by my extraordinary talent team from Mystic Art Pictures. Every single application is reviewed. And then from there, I'll give you a little inside information. We then call people and do a pre-qual. And that is a chance to really have people tell us about who you are, what you do for a living, your strategy for Wipeout, why you want to be on the show, what's going to set you and your partner apart on such an iconic show. From that point, if all goes well, and many do, we have a lot of great information. We then schedule a Zoom, and a Zoom interview is conducted where everybody does a Zoom interview. And then from there, we edit those packages and things are sent off to production and the network. And it is the entire process that I just described is all done online, which is pretty extraordinary because for the first 7 seasons, we auditioned close to 25,000 people.
Oh my.
And every single person came into our office in person and auditioned one-on-one in a studio. So things have really changed during this time, and everything has been virtual, which has been a really well-run system.
So that triggers me to ask you 2 things. One, what do you think about this way of doing your business to get by? Because not having 25,000 people come in seems like it might be a good thing. I don't know. And then what are you looking for when you're casting this show?
We basically, prior to COVID happening, had online systems. We were one of the leaders in creating a proprietary piece of technology that allowed people to apply online. And we've always done Skype interviews. Hmm. So it has been very natural for us to keep the entire system online. And it is always nice to meet 25,000 people in person. However, with that said, it also has been very refreshing. Hmm. And we've streamlined our time. Our entire team has obviously worked at home, and it's been rewarding to know that we can do this, and probably will continue to do a lot of our shows like this. I miss having everyone in an environment where we're a team in person and we can celebrate each day, each audition. However, we're doing that on Zoom meetings, and although we're not in person, the camaraderie and the community and the team has been doing a great job. And I would say the amount of contestants that we've interviewed, everyone has had the best attitude on the planet. Everyone has just had the best attitude and been so amenable to this process, and their energy has been great. And although, you know, we're in these extremely hard times, it's brought a lot of positive energy to people, you know, during an hour of their day. And to be part of such an iconic show has been a great memory, even just the audition for many of these people.
Sure. It'll be great conversation whenever they're having their party and they are together and they're having this conversation that they applied for this. Now, do you think maybe in this process you've seen people that you might not have ever seen coming into in person and applying?
You know, I think that time is everyone's most precious asset.
Right.
And to drive to an audition in Los Angeles, in Southern California, you know, could take a full day. And it was a process. So now we've really made the experience and the whole audition process much more streamlined. So I would say, yes, more people have auditioned and more people have taken the time, and they don't necessarily have to take a full day off work. They can take, you know, half an hour off work to do something that, like you just said, will be a really fun memory.
Yeah. And so then my other question was, what are you looking for when you're casting this show? What's appealing to you? What do you say, not that you're giving away hints, but yeah, I guess you're giving away hints.
Oh, no. I want everyone to know what we're looking for.
Cool.
For Wipeout 2020.
Great.
Because we're looking for fierce personalities, people that are truly charismatic, fun to watch. We're looking for teams of two. all walks of life. You can be extremely athletic or you can not be athletic, and it's okay. It is the beautiful thing about Wipeout is anyone can apply if you're 18 and over, and you do need to live in Southern California. So this season, we are only putting people forward that live in Southern California, but looking for just fierce, fun people that really can ignite and that are funny, fun-loving, that may have a heartwarming story, and just really looking to hear what sets these people apart. What is fun to watch? What makes them unique? What are their hobbies? What are their interests? Why do they love Wipeout? You know, maybe their family watched Wipeout when they were younger and now they have a dream to be on it. Maybe their parent was on Wipeout. A friend was on Wipeout. We just really want to hear stories that set people apart in terms of having fun energy and people that are going to be really fun to watch.
Why would it be okay for a contestant not to have any athletic abilities? Watching some of the skills or the obstacle course that they have to go through, it seems like being a little more athletic would help. But tell me why.
I think that's a good question. I think that it is important for us. Some people, if you watch the first 7 episodes, people are fierce. And if somebody is not a triathlete or, you know, was a past D1 athlete, we want to give people the opportunity. And some of these fierce attitudes come in all shapes and sizes. And it truly is, I think, the biggest blessing with this show is giving people an opportunity to be on a game show and an obstacle course. I mean, obviously, we do our due diligence and everyone goes through a medical process. And we have a very intense process to make sure people are fit enough to be on the show. But we do welcome all applicants to apply. And then during our process, we'll evaluate if we think they're fit enough to be a contestant on the new Wipeout 2020.
Our guest is casting director for the reboot series Wipeout, Katie Wallen. Your credits include miniseries and network, including Netflix, Tidying Up with Marie Kondo, Extreme Makeover, Home Edition on HGTV. Other networks include E!, Bravo, OWN, Lifetime, and HBO Max. When do you anticipate starting the series? As you indicated, it'll all be shot here in Southern California. When do you anticipate where they'll go on this obstacle course? When will that happen?
So we have just news in established that September 22nd, 2020 is the deadline to get your application in. So all applications for Wipeout need to be in by September 22nd, 2020. So that's first and foremost. We're just letting people know that now. So go to wipeoutcasting.com, fill out your application. If you want to be considered for Wipeout 2020, you need to have your application in by September 22nd. In terms of filming, we're going to be announcing that soon. There's a lot of exciting things that are going to be announced by our fabulous executive producer and creator of the show, Matt Kunis, including dates and when things will be progressing. But we are definitely casting 20 episodes, and September 22nd is the deadline to get your application in by going to wipeoutcasting.com.
You've been doing this for many years. What's the gamut of contestants look like? From what to what?
The range of contestants, first of all, it's a very high volume show. Okay. We have seen and reviewed thousands upon thousands of applicants. And I'd say in any given week, we are interviewing and auditioning 100. We have a very big team, and we have auditioned thousands for this new season of Wipeout 2020. It really is a process. And there's a lot of ingredients that go into it. The first, like I said, is you got to get your application in. You got to be ready to face the big red balls is a must, which many people are. And then you have to go through the process that we talked about. And then from there, the selection process starts. So thousands of people have applied, and we are interviewing sometimes hundreds in a week.
So you might have maybe a college student and maybe a sanitary driver, pickup truck driver. There is no one thing that stands out. It's more personality.
It really is. It's personality. And really, it is a duo. This season, we are only casting duos, so teams of two. So maybe it's your coworker, your neighbor, your family member, your cousin. It could be a best friend, but it is teams of two. So we encourage you to find the people that you have the real genuine chemistry with, that you're ready to have one of the most memorable experiences of a lifetime by doing the show, and find somebody that you want to experience that with. And the audition will take place whether you're together or separate. It'll be via Zoom. So it doesn't matter if you live in the same house and you're not seeing each other. We can still record the Zoom, which is another huge blessing.
And so once you've made the process of the finalists that will go forward, they will need to be in Southern California, and they'll go through this obstacle course over 2 days, 3 days. How long is the shooting process?
Yeah, we're letting people know it'll be approximately 3 days.
Okay.
And we are currently just looking for people in Southern California that are 18 and over.
Let me ask, why do you think this type of television is so popular with today's TV audience? Or maybe it's not actually being watched on TV, but maybe viewers are watching it on their phones instead. Why do you think this is so popular?
I think it's a great co-viewing experience for the whole family to enjoy. It's fun. It can be funny. The characters are great. People need some entertainment value. You know, it was on for 7 seasons. I think people have been waiting for it to come back, and now it is. New network, I like to say, new falls, new fails, and bigger balls on TBS.
And what do they win at the end of the series?
Another great question, and really important one. Each episode, a team will win $25,000. So it's a big prize.
Yeah. Each episode, not for the end of the series, each episode.
So each episode.
When I watch that 1 hour, we'll know who's going to win that $25,000 at the end of the show.
That's right.
Wow. That's an immediate reward. I mean, for the viewer, you don't have to keep waiting and waiting. You get to know.
Exactly.
Immediate satisfaction.
There's a lot of fun things about Wipeout. It's really, truly been one of the greatest shows that I've had the opportunity to work on. I have the greatest team. Many people have worked on the previous 7 seasons, although we're in new times and we've been forced to figure out new ways to do things, it's been really highly rewarding. I think people have had a whole lot of fun, and we really want to give everyone the chance and the opportunity. At the very least, if they don't make the show, the audition process is really fun. It's actually very easy, and we really encourage you, if you want to be considered, go to wipeoutcasting.com and apply before September 22nd.
Perfect. Katie, thank you so much for sharing. I think it's an exciting opportunity for someone to try during this ho-hum 2020 year, and this is something bright to look forward to. Thanks so much for your time. It was fun. I'm not sure why anyone would do this, because I would never do this, but I know there's enthusiasts out there that would truly enjoy it.
Well, it would blow your mind how many people are so excited for the opportunity, and it's really been a whole lot of fun.
Really?
Thank you so much.
Well, thank you.
Be safe, and thank you for supporting Wipeout 2020.
I'll be watching. Take care.
Okay.
All right. Bye.
Bye-bye.
Once again, wipeoutcasting.com for more information, wipeoutcasting.com. And the deadline for audition submissions, September 22nd. That was KVCR's Lillian Vasquez in conversation with Katie Wallen, founder and CEO of Mystic Art Pictures. And with that, we wrap up another edition of KVC Arts. Thanks once again to Katie Wallen. Thanks also to Jason Ritter and to Paul Cruz with the Palm Springs International Comedy Festival. Here at KVCR, thanks to Rick Dulock, Lillian Vasquez, and Shireen Awad. Music beds and themes heard on KVC Arts composed and performed by Sean Longstreet. So, as always, thanks to Sean as well. You can hear past KVC Arts programs via podcast at kvcrnews.org/arts. I'm David Fleming. Thanks especially to you for listening and for your support, which you can do any time of the year. Just go to kvcrnews.org/support. And thanks again.